Hello, everybody. This is Todd Underwood from SIFT, the voice of the food industry, and you're listening to Food Stories, the podcast, the show that highlights the industry that keeps 330 million people fed in the U.S. and tells the stories of the innovative people, companies, and organizations that keep the food flowing to our stores and restaurants. It's a program for people in the industry, as well as those who have interest in how food products are made and delivered with the highest quality and safety in mind. We would like to thank our sponsors who make this show and other programming possible. They are Jobs Ohio and the Ohio MEP. You can learn more about these impactful organizations in the links shared in the show description. Now, let's get to today's program. All right, so we are here this morning with our keynote for the Ohio Food Industry Summit, Jacob Hall, aka the Manufacturing Millennial. We're so happy to have him here to kind of tell us a little bit about himself before the summit.
Yeah.
So I'll give him a second to kind of, Jacob, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background, your professional and personal. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Todd, I'm super excited to be speaking at the upcoming summit. It's going to be a lot of fun. I love these type of organizations and events where we can get together with a lot of other professionals in the similar industry and talk about trends, what's happening, connect. A lot of times it's a lot of family, because we know in these industries, especially the food industry, it's one of those things is you really don't, even if you leave your job, you don't leave the industry. You know, you go from place to place to place and connect with those people again. So it's a blast in that case. So my background is I've been in manufacturing for 18 years, pretty much my entire life, going back to when I was in high school as a kid. When I was 16, I got my first job working in manufacturing at a custom automation machine builder, where I was able to, I would say, be the broom boy of a lot of cases, where I did a lot of the grunt work, cleaned a lot of the manual mills and the bridge
on the ground floor,
CNCs, and you know, grinded all the steel tube and cut that stuff and wiped it down with acetone, you know, to get ready for welding. And it was a great experience for me just to understand how things were made. And, you know, at the end of the day, how different components go together to then make an automated solution that does a task. Went to college. I got my manufacturing engineering degree, which was just, you know, the next path of alignment that I was told to go into. And then after that, went to automation distribution, where I went into sales right after college. And here in West Michigan, we you know, are heavily automotive where I live, but we had a really good diverse group of a diverse set of industries, right? So we have, you know, Kellogg's the big one that's, you know, just down the road from me. And there was a lot of other different ones, speaking specifically in the food and bev industry. Coca-Cola had a big bottling facility that we worked with as well. But I think for me is the big change for me happened in 2020 when I went to a different company. And one of my main focus partners was a very large protein producer in the U.S. They're not headquartered in the U.S., but they do everything from beef to turkey to chicken to pork. If everyone knows who it is without me saying who it is. Sure. But, you know, I had a great experience working with them for several years, where I really focused on digital solutions and modernization within their facilities. So not necessarily putting in brand new processing equipment, that there's a lot of companies out there that are doing stuff like JMP and Scott Automation. There's some really big JR Automation, really big custom automation machine builders that are automating facilities. But what we focused on was, how do we take a lot of existing assets that might be siloed on the floor and bring them up to a digital platform that allowed us to get more accessibility into the industry? So for me, it was, hey, we have this machine that's running, but we have no idea what downtime actually is. We have no idea what faults actually mean. We have no idea of when these machines and processes are running at a high, you know, level of productivity. So our goal, and what my goal is, to work with this company to help roll out an enterprise solution across their facility. And like, the big thing is if you're a small to medium sized food and bev company that might be 50 employees, or you're one in this case that was thousands and thousands and thousands that had, you know, 40 or 50 different processing facilities across the US, the principles are the same in the way we want to do things, right? We want to learn to go through low hanging fruit, understanding processes. And for me, why I'm so excited to speak at this upcoming summit that we're doing for the Food Industry Summit is, you know, share my experience on why it matters to go digital in manufacturing, but more importantly, how does that digital trend attract future generations of millennials and Gen Zs, which I'm going to be highlighting as part of my discussion throughout what we're doing for our keynote, Todd, is within the industry, regardless if it's food and bev or automotive or medical or aerospace or mining and, you know, really any industry in manufacturing, we're facing a labor shortage. We're facing a shortage where we have what I call the skilled labor who has this tribal knowledge for the past 30 to 40 years, who's been working in this industry, leaving the industry, either retiring or just saying, I'm done. And the issue that we're going to be running into more and more is it's not like it's a one-to-one head replacement. It's how do we take this tribal knowledge of understanding how these processes run efficiently and pass them on to the next generation of millennials and Gen Zs with us getting them excited. But then how do we leverage technology then to bring them on board and then make sure production is running smoothly? So when I'm giving my presentation, yeah, I'm going to be speaking to the business owners, the executives, to the engineers, and then the people in HR and marketing on these businesses as well, right? There's so many different segments within manufacturing.
So many facets to this.
That need to work together to make things successful. So I'm going to be sharing stories, adding humor to manufacturing as best as I can, and having some good conversations along the way.
That sounds exciting. Well, I'm really excited to, like I said, I followed you quite a bit online, especially on LinkedIn. And that kind of brings me to something that I think I'm personally curious about. And you've got such a strong online presence. And I think that's something I know at SIFT and a lot of our companies are striving for without having you delve too deep into it here. I'm just kind of curious, how did you build that presence a little bit? I mean, I know that's something you don't, most people think, oh, you get lucky with one video and you go viral. But I think both you and I know that's not true. It takes time to build up. How did you do that? How long did it take you? Just kind of give us that airplane view. I'm very curious to hear that story, because I don't know how much you're going to get into that in your keynote, but I would love to.
Yeah, we'll dive into a little bit. I think the big focus for that is, like Todd, is how do companies do a better job sharing their story and sharing not necessarily the product that they manufacture or that they process, but the people who make it. And I think, where my story got going was, for me, I really enjoyed advocating and highlighting success stories that are happening in the industry, and not necessarily related to the product, but here's all those problems that we're facing across the industry. It could be everything from automation integration to how do we take a step into a digital transformation journey to what is industry 4.0? Does it matter? Yes. Does it matter to me? How do I get millennials and Gen Zs excited about it? How do I collaborate with education and find that way to work with educators to train and create the skill sets for future workers that I need at my facility? And so what I did and how I got my personal brand going on through manufacturing, the manufacturing millennial, that brand came about when
I was kind of curious where that came
from. I was attending an association event in 2019. And one of the speakers there was talking about future-proofing your business and what do you need to future-proof your business. And then one of the comments was, what are you doing to raise your next leader? And I thought it was really funny how we have this leadership conference, yet I was the only millennial in that room. As I look across this group of 300, 400 people, who the only one, I was like 28, 29 at the time. And I'm looking across this room, no one over there is under the age of 40 besides me. And I'm thinking, well, geez, I'm a millennial. I'm a pretty outspoken millennial, talking about my generation and the issues that we face and the things that we need to overcome as a generation when it comes to this job, but also just general life, related stuff. And so for me, I figured I'm going to embrace the manufacturing millennial brand because it has a fun ring to it, manufacturing and being an outspoken millennial. So that's how the manufacturing millennial brand came about. But for me, it just goes on. How do we better share those stories and being active and sharing and highlighting what other people are doing? I really think helped grow my brand to where it is today, where now I have an awesome opportunity to travel to visit a lot of different manufacturing facilities and get a lot of tours and talk with plant managers and operations. Like last week, I was in Novi. The week before that, I was talking to a digital transformation company. The week before that, I was visiting a forging manufacturing company that does press forging, and just seeing how you know, raw stock goes into a heated, you know, through electric coil to get heated up, and then goes into a boar braid to get smashed down and turn into eventually part. You know, and understanding that even though one might be making food, one might be making forged parts, and one might be doing something with automotive, there's still, as a whole, a very underlying similarity when it comes to digital adoption, automation, and workforce attraction. And then learning the tricks of what companies are doing and then being able to showcase and share those stories, I think allows me to then help work with a lot of other companies who are, you know, going to be attending this event saying, hey, here's what you should be doing. You should be listening to this. You shouldn't be inviting your HR people. You should be inviting your marketing people. This isn't just for engineers and owners, because every place has a significant impact when it comes to growing the business.
Sure. And it's smart because storytelling is such a transcendent tool. Like it can bridge so many of, like you said, all those different stakeholders.
Yes,
I totally get it. And I we really have tried to embrace that here at SIFT too, with our marketing and our, and you know, our every facet. So I think that's awesome. Well, you mentioned something kind of interesting there. I want to kind of touch on it, because one thing when we first met, and nobody, our audience doesn't know this, we had a couple of calls, I think, before we even agreed to do the food summit. Right away, you had mentioned you had worked for an unnamed company that we you probably know this, you know, every manufacturer is in a different space and they all think they're very unique, and they are, but they're also the same. What would you say you find that makes the food industry kind of unique in the manufacturing space? Because I definitely, having been in both worlds, there's definitely the food industry sees itself as very unique. What would you say, as somebody who's has a foot in both worlds and both spaces, what would you say to our audience?
There's a couple of things I'll look at. One is, you know, with the food industry is unique because there's additional regulation when it comes to a lot of stuff, right? So, you know, there's a whole nother thing. It's not just productivity and production. It's also following under regulation that, you know, the government puts in place to make sure that you're producing a, you know, a quality, good, safe product. You know, the one thing that I do find in certain, and the food and bev industry compared to other industries, is everyone thinks they have the biggest secret in the world when it comes to how they go about producing something or making something.
Secret sauce.
And you know, it's one of those things, being in, you know, touring probably 100+, you know, companies with this, specifically within the food and bev, and getting tours and walking about that, there really hasn't been a lot of stuff that you can't simply go on to, like, the product manufacturing company who's making those machines and watch their YouTube page and understand exactly what's happening. I think a lot of times, and I would say there's been a lot of improvement with coming out of this. So, like, I don't want to, like, fault the industry for that, but a lot of times people always thought that they grow and they become more competitive and more, you know, at advantage by keeping in their secrets and not talking to anyone. Yeah, I think what we're seeing now is the transition in the industry is growth happens through collaboration, not through trying to silo competition. And yes, there's always going to be those cases on how we're doing stuff. But I think if companies are more willing to open up their doors to have people come in and share case and show and say, oh yeah, more than likely they're going to have someone say, oh yeah, we had that exact same issue and this is what we did, you know, and being able to share what your problems are, there's probably people who have solutions for those. And I think it's just one of those things, is for manufacturing for so long, we had this idea that we just, you know, put our blinders on and not collaborate or talk with. But I think as an industry, we're beginning to realize that collaboration drives growth as a much higher benefit than we have to worry about our trade secret, you know, leading, you know,
that really aligns well with us at SIFT too and our mission. So that's great to hear. Well, let me ask you just a couple more questions, because I don't want to give away your whole presentation. We want people wanting more. What you mentioned, is there anything you're excited about? I think this is your first time coming to our summit. Is anything you're most excited about coming down to Lewis Center, but right outside Columbus?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just love asking questions. So, you know, I'm going to probably sit at your table and introduce myself and say, hey, who are you with? Tell me what you do. What's the biggest problem you guys are facing right now? And I'm pretty direct in that area, but like, for me, you don't learn a lot of times by, oh, we do this really good. Like, I want to know what you're struggling with, because I might be able to put you in touch with someone else? Or tell me what has been your biggest success story? Like, what are you most proud of with what you do? And I think, you know, when you ask those questions, people just love to share. And for me, I'm just, you know, I always enjoy learning more and more of what companies are doing. So I'm just excited to go there and network and learn and talk to people.
We're excited to have it. Is there anything else, anything secret or something really surprising people would you'd like people to know about you before they come?
I'm a diehard Chicago Cubs fan. So, you know, if anyone in Ohio is still bitter about, you know, 2016 or anything like that, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think you'll be okay.
I think I'll be okay where we're heading. But
yeah, we'll be okay.
Yeah. But other than that, you know, go blue.
We might have to edit that out in post. that could be trouble.
We'll see how this season goes with everything. You know,
we're trying to sell tickets here, Jacob, so please don't do that. We appreciate your time. I am very excited to have you. I know our audiences as well. We'll have Jacob. You can follow him on LinkedIn. Is LinkedIn, Facebook, or what are your big platforms?
LinkedIn, I would say, is the best place.
Big one. Okay, yeah. So we'll put obviously we've been promoting Jacob on our platforms, but we'll put links to him in this podcast. And we'll be looking forward to seeing him at our summit. And all that information will also be to register will be in all the information with this podcast. Jacob, thank you so much for your time. I'm looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks here.
Yeah, we'll see you guys soon.
Okay, thank you.
You have been listening to Food Stories, the podcast, a production of SIFT. We appreciate your support. If you have any food processing stories you would like to share, reach out to us at info@siftinnovation.org. And be on the lookout for our next episode coming soon, telling more of these fascinating and important stories. Until then, stay well and stay fed.